The GM strike enters week four. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Contract talks between General Motors and the United Auto Workers stalled over the weekend. The union says negotiations have taken a turn for the worse. GM says it's continuing to negotiate in good faith. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live here in studio. And Nancy, what are the sticking points right now?
Well, the union sent a letter to its members over the weekend saying it presented GM with what it called an extensive package proposal, and that dealt with job security, pensions, profit sharing, wages, signing bonuses. The union says GM has reverted back to a previous proposal the union rejected. GM says it's committed to continuing the talks. The New York Times is reporting the disagreement is over the union's demand that GM move production of some vehicles from Mexico to the U.S.
And how are the workers getting by during the strike?
Well, they get strike pay, but it's only $250 a week. And these workers can make up to $1,200 a week. At the beginning of this month, a J.P. Morgan analyst estimated the strike had cost GM just over $1 billion. But at least the two sides are still talking.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all looking down this morning around the 0.3% range. Later today, the Federal Reserve is set to release the latest figures on consumer credit. It captures the amount of money that we're all borrowing. Consumer debt has surged recently, particularly on credit cards and auto loans. As Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports, researchers will be studying today's numbers for signs of how the economy is doing ahead of the holiday season.
The figures that we get from the Federal Reserve come with a bit of a lag, so today's numbers will be for August's consumer debt. July's data showed a $23.3 billion rise in borrowing, especially on credit cards. Kit Yarrow is author of Decoding the New Consumer Mind. She says there are a few reasons for that.
Some of it is confidence. I think consumers do feel confident. And some of it is just practically what it's like to be a consumer today.
And having to pay high housing, healthcare, and education costs. She says consumer spending is a key driver of the economy, but debt is never a good thing for individuals. Auto and student loans were also up in July's data. Some economists thought that could be a blip as people rushed to buy cars ahead of impending tariffs. But Chris Hobson at IHS Markit says it looks more like an ongoing trend, and those loans are getting longer.
What's happening now and being really highlighted is the fact that some of these really long terms of upwards of 84 months, that's seeing the most growth.
Super long loans can both trap consumers in debt and increase the risk of defaults. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in Washington, politicians and pundits are trying desperately to set the narrative around the ongoing impeachment inquiry. Whether through President Trump's Twitter feed or Democratic presidential candidates' fundraising emails, politics often takes a cue from the private sector when it comes to talking about some of the biggest issues facing the country. Chara Torres-Spelzi is a law professor at Stetson University and a campaign finance expert who has a new book about this called Political Brands. Chara, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So what is political branding?
What I mean by political branding is when politicians use commercial techniques to sell either themselves or a policy position.
So how is that showing up in the 2020 presidential campaign?
In 2020, you have a lot of merchandising by the candidates. Trump, of course, did this already in 2016. One of the ways that he raised an enormous amount of money was by selling his Make America Great Again red hats. Warren has lots of merchandise that says Warren has a plan for it. Kamala for the People has a poster that looks like the Obama hope poster. Julian Castro has T-shirts that say Adios Trump. And then my favorite one is from Pete Buttigieg. He has T-shirts that say Chasten for First Gentleman, which is a reference to his husband.
The Trump campaign raised $13 million in the first 36 hours after Speaker Pelosi announced the impeachment inquiry. How is the Trump campaign branding impeachment?
Trump is selling witch hunt merch. So, for example, you can buy a witch hunt beer cozy if you wish. Rhetorically, he's also branding impeachment as undemocratic and a coup.
What about the Democrats? I imagine they're using some branding techniques of their own here.
The Democrats are trying to brand impeachment as defense of democracy. They think of themselves as standing up for the rule of law and for the integrity of the next election.
What does that mean for how the campaigns are spending their money?
Well, typically you hire a consultant at a pretty penny and they will message test for you. One thing you saw in the 2016 campaign, especially on the Trump side, is they spent a lot of money, like to the tune of $100 million, just on Facebook ads alone. And so these ads are moving online and are moving into your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed.
Chara Torres-Pellacy is a law professor at Stetson University and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice, a nonpartisan policy organization. Her new book is called Political Brands. Thank you.
Thank you.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Reports. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.